There'll be an added fine tonight if your cell phone goes off. We'll ask you to purchase one set of Srimad Bhagavatams. It's only $240. So you can turn your cell phone on if you like. And we'll listen for it. Is that all right? Everyone agree? Okay. Hare Krishna. This is called Harinam initiation, and we'll speak in a few minutes about the meaning of Harinam initiation. And to begin this ceremony, we'll perform a purification rite by reciting a verse from the Shastra, which says that whatever condition of life one is in now, if one remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed, then one becomes purified inwardly and outwardly. And we're also going to perform achman by sipping water three times and uttering the mantras which contain the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmare pundarikaksham sababhya abhyantara shuchihi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Now please take the achman cup in your spoon in your left hand and place three drops in your right hand and say the mantra Om Keshavaya Namaha and sip the water.
Three more drops.
Om Narayanaya Namaha. Three more. Om Madhavaya Namaha. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastan gatopiva yasmare pundarikaksham sababhya abhyantara shuchihi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Again, we'll sip water. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayanaya Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastan Gatopiva Yasmare Pundarikaksham Sababhya Antara Shuchihi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. One perform achman one more time. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayanaya Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. And now we're going to chant some verses from the Sri Brahma Sanghita. Sri Brahma Sanghita is the written record of revelation by Brahma, who is the first created being in the universe, who received the first initiation from Krishna himself, from his flute song. Brahma sat on a lotus stem, just being born in complete ignorance and not knowing what his origin was. He searched up and down the lotus stem, which emerged from the navel of Mahavishnu. And he couldn't find it, so he began to pray after hearing the syllables tapa. And from Divya Saraswati, he also received a mantra, which he recited. And after Krishna was pleased with him, he played his flute, and the flute song entered into the 8 ear holes of Brahma, thus enlightening him. And Brahma then had a complete vision of the spiritual world, which he described in these verses, now known as the Brahma Samhita. This book, actually it's a chapter of a book, was found personally by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Adi Keshava temple in South India when he was traveling there. And he was so fond of it that he took it to a local scribe and had it copied. There were no Kinkos at that time, that everything had to be written by hand on palm leaves. And he distributed it to his favorite disciples. And through our Sampradaya, the great acharyas like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended that one enter into these prayers as a regular daily function. And in all ISKCON temples around the world, we do. Because every morning around 7 o'clock a.m., when we greet their lordships in the temple, we play this tape, recording of the voice of Jamuna Devi Dasi, and we all sing, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So now we're going to recite a few prayers. And the reason I like to do this before initiation, because in 1975 I was in Chicago when Srila Prabhupada came, and many new devotees got initiated at that time. And a devotee named Rohini Kumar Prabhu organized a group of devotees to sit together and chant the Brahma Samhita at the initiation. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada said he liked it very much. And since then, I like to carry that tradition to these initiations. Some of you have a copy of the prayers we're going to sing. We're just picking a few of them, which will take about 9.5 minutes. And just after that, we'll have a short talk about the meaning of initiation, and then we'll have the name giving, and we'll have the sacred fire. How many of you have a copy? Okay. So you can sing along. And the rest of you, if you don't know the words already, can repeat when we come to the refrain. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So you can just listen to the other part. And whether you're chanting or listening, it's purifying either way. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vritesha Sudabira Vipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrama Sevyamanam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Venum Kwanantam Maravindam Dalaya Taksham Bharavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Alola Chandra Kala Sadvana Malya Vamshi Radnanganam Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasham Shyamam Tribanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti Pashanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jaganti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Dhulama Madhulama Matva Bhaktau Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo vayo radhapi manaso munipungavanam sopyasti yaprapadasinya vichinche tatve govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami ekopyasaura chaditum jagadanda kotim yachshakti rasti jagadanda chayaya danta Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yad bhava bhavita diyo manujasta taiva Samprapya rupa mahima shayanana bhusha Shuktarya meva nagama pratitaistu vandhi Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavi tabis Tabirya eva nijarupa tayakalabi Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena Santaksadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti Yamshama sundana machintya guna swarupam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Ramari muti shukalanyamena tishtan Nana avataram akarod bhuvanesh kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramapumanyo Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yasya prabha prabhapato jagadanda kotim Yachchakshashridharyu vubhuti binam Tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Maya hiyasya jagadanda shatani sute Traigunya tadvishaya veda pitaya mana Sattva valambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasatmataya manasu Ya praninam pratipalam smarutam upetya Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jastram Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Goloka namni nijadamni chaleta tasya Devi mahesha hridama suteshu teshu Tete prabhavani chaya vihitascha yena Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Shristi stiti pralaya sarana shakti reka Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharati durga Ichchanurupam api yasya chateshta tesa Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Shiram yatadar vikar vishesha yogad Sanjayate nahitatah pratakasti heto Yasham bhutam api tatasam upaiti karyad Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Diparchareva hitashandhanam abhyupetya Dipayate vrvatahetu samana dharma Yastadrageva hijavishnu chayavibhati Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yakkaranarna bhajale bhajatisma yoga Nidra mananta jagaranda saromukupaha Adhara shaktim avalambya paramsma murtim Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yashaika nishvasitakala matavalambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagananda nata
Vishnur Mahansa Ihayasya Kala Vishesho Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Vajami Bhasvanyatasma Sakalesh Nujesh Cheja Sriyam Kiyat Prakatayatha Vitadvadatra Brahmaya Esha Jagadanda Vidhana Karta Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Vajami Yat Pada Pallava Yugam Vinidaya Kumbha Vande Pranama Samaye Saganari Rajaha Vignan Vidhantum Alamasya Jagatrayasya Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Vajami Agnir Mahi Ganganamam Mumuru Dishascha Kalastatatma Manasiti Jagatrayani Yasmad Bhavanti Vibhavanti Vishanti Yamcha Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Yachchakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramuti Rashesha Teja Yasyajnaya Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakro Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Dharmota Papa Nichaya Shutayasta Pansi Brahmari Kita Patagavadayascha Jiva Yadhatra Matra Vibhava Prakata Prabhava Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Yastvindra Gopa Matavindra Mohosa Karma Bandaru Rupa Palabhajana Matunoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Chapakti Bhajam Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Yam Krodha Kama Sahaja Pranayari Piti Vatsalya Moha Guru Gaurava Sevya Bhavai Sanchintya Tassa Sadrishim Tanumapurete Govinda Mari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Dhruma Bhumishchinta Mani Ghanamayi Toyamamratam Kataganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamshi Prayasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tarasvadyam Api Cha Sayatra Shiradhi Sravati Surabhibhyashya Sumahan Nimeshardyakyo Vavratiti Nahi Atrapi Samayaha Bhaje Shweta Dvipam Tamaham Yaha Golokamitiyam Virantaste Shantakshiti Viralachara Katipaye Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakshidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Tisri Brahma Samhita Sampurnam. So we offer those prayers to Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish and beg for their blessings today, that we can today and always take shelter at their lotus feet. And before speaking a couple of words, I'll just say the pranams to my spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatate Shatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today's ceremony is extremely important because in human life we have free choice. As living entities, as living souls, as conscious beings, we have free choice. But when the living being is in a life form lower than a human,
that freedom of choice is severely limited. But when we come to the human form of life, we have reason, we have superior intellect, and we have the power to choose. And in the Bhagavad Gita, which is meant for us, Krishna talks about the different levels of our existence. Indriyani priyanyahur indriyebhya paramaraha manasastu parabhudhir yobhudhe paratastusa. He says lowest of all are the senses which left to their own devices will go after their own food, whatever that may be. Above the senses is the mind, which has the function of sankalpa vikalpa, which means accepting some things, rejecting some other things. And above the mind, Krishna says, is the intellect, through which we can make a discrimination between what to accept and what to reject. And above the intellect is the soul. And all of the writings that come from a revealed source, like the Bhagavad Gita, are meant for us. Otherwise, who are they meant for? And this is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, that if we are not agents for change, that is, if the soul, if we, the conscious living being, are not able to improve ourselves, then what are all the Vedas for? What are all the Shastras for? Why bother? If we can't take advantage of them, if we can't look at them and say, I'm going to change, I'm going to improve, I'm going to rise above the level of the senses, above the level of the mind and intellect, and come to the spiritual platform. As Krishna says in the next verse, evam buddhi param buddhva samstab vyatmanam atmana jahi shatram mahabaho kamarupa dharasadam. Rise above the lower self using your higher self. And when someone makes a decision to move forward in spiritual life, makes a vow and says, I'm going to do this, then heaven and earth moves along with that person's decision. In fact, what's going on in this material world, Krishna says in the third chapter of Gita, is more or less mechanical. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Business as usual. It means I'm going on with the regular flow of events in this material world, drawn by my senses and my uninformed intellect. And therefore I'm pulled along by what are called waves, called samsara. I flow from one life to the next, aimlessly. In fact, the word sometimes is used loitering. Today we are out and about in the city of Los Angeles, and we saw on several buildings a sign that said, no loitering. And those who come to the material world without an aim to spiritually improve others or themselves are loitering. So no loitering. No loitering here in the material world. There should be a big sign somewhere. In fact, there is. And Krishna is saying in the Gita, don't loiter here in the material world, but improve yourself. So when someone makes a decision, like Bhakti Gunita has made, on her own, she's, of course, with the support of all her friends and devotees, her husband, so forth, she's made this decision, but she made it. Only we can make a decision to improve. So a vow, which is what this initiation ceremony is about, making a vow, means that you move into a different category as far as Krishna is concerned. Dikshakali bhaktakari atma samarpan shekali krishnatari tari atmasam. Krishna says that when you decide to take this vow of initiation, that I'm absolutely dedicated to going back to Godhead. I've opted out of the material world. I've signed my little sheet saying I opt out. I'm going back to Godhead. Krishna says this is called atma samarpan, which means I'm surrendering my soul, which is a very, very, very good idea.
Krishna recommends it in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masuchaha.
He says that this material world, early in the Bhagavad Gita, is insurmountable. The amount of debt that you have, you'll never be able to pay back. Declare bankruptcy. Go out of business here. Give it up. Sarva dharman parityaja.
Just surrender it all to me. Just like you go before the court judge and you say, I can't pay my creditors anymore. I'm swimming in debt, which we are in the material world. Therefore, I surrender to the court. You please protect me. And they help to rearrange your life. So you get yourself a lawyer. Srila Prabhupada said that's like you get a spiritual master. He'll help you interpret the law books. And then you go before the judge and you say, I quit. I need your protection. So very good idea to surrender to Krishna. And that's what this vow of initiation means. Atma samarpana. And profoundly, Krishna says then that atmasam, he considers that person to be as good as himself. Not quantitatively, of course, not that at initiation time one merges and becomes God, but Krishna says this person's in the same category. He's part of my internal family, so to speak. Now he considers you one of his own devotees. So when someone makes this vow, the universe changes and everyone else changes too, because when someone makes a determination and says, I'm going to do it, and they say it before everyone else and before the fire and before the deities, then we all have a sense that someone has made a decision, they're moving forward. And it inspires us. So we're very inspired by your decision today and happy to be here. So there are initiation into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is a process. And this is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in an essay that he wrote, which is called Pancha Samskar. So a samskar is a purificatory process. And there are many samskars which we perform in our lives in order to connect all the activities that we do to Krishna. Kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam manavartate tenaiva karmana dhyaya mam param bhaktimichyati. Lord Krishna says that whatever you're doing in your life, connect it to me. By doing that, you'll become perfect. Yat karoshi yad ashnashi yaj johosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do as an offering to me. And this is Krishna's instruction. So those who are progressive in their human life connect all their activities and their passages in life to Krishna. Of these various samskars, according to the great Vaishnavacharyas, this samskar of initiation is particularly important. Pancha samskar has five different aspects, which I'll just now identify. The first is called tapa. Tapa means that after taking my life in the material world for granted for many, many years, and although I may not remember, according to the Shastra, for many, many lifetimes, so many lifetimes that it's called anadi karma, that I've been here so long, no one can even count how long I've been here. Of course, Krishna can, but nobody else can, including myself. And tapa means that I come to a point where my spiritual intelligence awakens. This is called labdhabuddhi. Kama dinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapano pashanti utsri jaitanata yarupate sambrata labdha bhuris tamayata sharanam abhayamam nyunkshva madasye. The devotee prays, how long and in how many ways have I surrendered to the bad masters of my senses?
They've never given me time off. They've never given me mercy. And I've never questioned them. I've simply followed whatever they said, dictates of the mind and the senses. I just went along with it. But no more. Love the Buddhi. Now my intelligence has awakened. And Krishna, I'm approaching you. I'm surrendering to you. So this is the feeling of tapa. Tapa means heat. It means that now I'm changing my life. I make some arrangements, changes in my life. Krishna says in the Gita, Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan intrayaischaran. Atma vasher vate atma prasada marigaschati. That if you can take this tapa, which means you delay sense gratification, you put it aside because you see there's something higher, there's something better. And therefore you restrain your senses based on instructions given from the scripture, from Krishna. He says you can attain the complete mercy of the Lord. Prasada marigaschati. So tapa involves a kind of regret, a remorse that I've wasted millions of lifetimes. How many lifetimes?
Millions.
Actually, way more than millions. I read a Buddhist book when I was in Thailand. And it was talking about how if you piled up all the bones from every body you've had in every one of your lives, just one person, that's all we need a volunteer for. Just that stack of bones from one person would block out the sun. Piled so high, dramatic. And therefore I feel this heat. I feel that I'm sorry that I spent so much time wasted here in the material world, and I'm turning my life in a different direction. This is tapa. And one begins to follow some regulation. We say, don't drink anything you can ignite. Not very good. And don't take any kind of intoxication. It makes you stupid. And you'll lose your way and you'll lose your power. Don't freely mix with the opposite sex or just wantonly have sexual relations here, there, and everywhere. This is for the animals, not for human beings. And be careful what you eat. Eat sanctified food, as Krishna has recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, because you are what you eat. And don't gamble your life away on frivolous things. Gamble your life away on surrendering to Krishna. Take a big gamble and say, I'm going to gamble on this. But don't gamble in other ways. It diverts the attention. Some basic rules in tapa, in tapasya. And then comes the second stage of Panchasamskara, which is called pandra. Pandra means actually udvapundra. This is this mark of tilak. It's the mark, some people say, of Krishna's footprint. And when people ask me when I travel around the world, so what is that anyway? I say it's a mark of dedication. It means I'm dedicated to God. And people appreciate that universally. It doesn't matter what country you're in. You say, my life is dedicated to God. They say, fine, that's very good. No, we have no problem with that. And this is what pandra means, that you begin to show the external features of a Vaishnav or a Vaishnavi. There's kuntimala, these beads around the neck, which show that I am, well, really, if you want me to say it, that I'm a dog. Because dogs are good, actually. They're loyal. And they protect their master, and they're loyal to the master. Even if the master beats them, they'll come back and say, okay, it's all right. So there's a way, udvapundra, it's showing that my identity, external identity, I'm starting to show, tilak, neck beads, that I'm in this group. I'm in this group. You're showing pundra, the tilak. Then comes the next stage, which is called nama. So nama means that you receive a new name. And then your last name will be either Das or Dasi. If you're a woman, you get Dasi. If you're a male, you get Das. And this is likened to the, well, in America we have what we call the witness protection program. If a criminal decides to make, divulge who all his cohorts, who all his co-conspirators are in a crime, he goes before the court, back me up on this, Magendra, if this is true. He's a lawyer. you say, I'll go state's evidence. I'll turn in all my friends and such. And so whatever it is, then the government says, we don't care what crimes you performed. We're going to absolve you of your crimes. We'll give you amnesty, and we're going to give you a new name, and we'll give you a new place to live. And nobody will know where you are. You could start over again, new life. So in a way, this is we're opting out of the material world. We're taking a new name. Maya won't be able to find you. In fact, it says if you wear the neck beads, tilak, Yamaraj won't touch you, or the Yamadutas, they don't come near you. You're not part of the material world anymore. You've taken your vows. You've got your tilak. Now you have a new name. Where are they going to find you? You're invisible to all the, you know, attendants of Yamaraj. Maya won't be able to find you. Actually, I won't go that far. Let's be careful. She knows exactly what we're thinking and where we are. But this is the idea that we're taking shelter of Krishna fully. We're starting, as Suvas said in the preface to this program, that we are taking a second birth, dvija. First birth is from the womb. That's easy. Anybody can do it. Second birth is spiritual. So, then also, nama, one takes the name from a spiritual master because Krishna appreciates this. If we take the name on our own, that's fine. One can make advancement. But if one actually accepts the holy name from a spiritual guide, then Krishna blesses that activity. This is mentioned in the Shastra. Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur both say that to chant purely, one should accept the holy name from a Vaishnav, who's already. And a Vaishnav means someone who's initiated by another Vaishnav. This is the definition of a Vaishnav in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. A Vaishnav is someone who has received Diksha initiation from another Vaishnav. So you receive the holy name from a Vaishnav. It means you become a Vaishnav or Vaishnavi. And then you take seriously this chanting of the holy name. The fourth stage of Pancha Samskara initiation is called mantra. So after chanting the holy name steadily and studying the scriptures very carefully and understanding the process of devotional service, one may take the mantras, which are the we accept in our sampradaya, the Krishna mantra. And also there are other Gayatri mantras. There's a Brahma Gayatri mantra that we receive, and other esoteric mantras that are passed down and are not public mantras. The Hare Krishna mantra is public, but these other mantras are not. And finally, the fifth stage comes what is called Yaga, which means one may then worship the deity, having become qualified, going through these five different samskars. So this is the third samskar and pancha samskar, taking the name, accepting a name, and vowing to chant Krishna's name a minimum amount of times every day, and dedicating one's life to carefully controlling the senses, following the four regulative principles. So, the holy name of Krishna doesn't wait for initiation. So one might ask, why is it necessary to take a Harinam initiation? Why have this sacred fire? Previously, there, in earlier times in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the first initiation was sometimes a little more casual. That one would simply receive the beads and you say, you know, just start chanting. However, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta emphasized it, and our Srila Prabhupada, who came to America, emphasized the first initiation even more. And partly because no one knew what it was. And no one knew the importance of it. In fact, the first initiations that Prabhupada gave, people had no idea what it meant to get initiated. They simply sat down and said, maybe can my friend come too? Prabhupada was just starting the movement at that time. And then he held the fire. And they began to feel, this is very ceremonial. There's something really going on here. And Prabhupada emphasized it, especially for the initiations in the West, so that people would take it seriously. This is a real thing. This is a very serious vow. We're having a fire before the deities and so forth. And when one, as I said, accepts the holy name from a spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, then there is special potency. This is also mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur, that one can come to the perfectional stage of chanting by accepting initiation. And also, it's very important, he says, as one continues to chant the holy name, one must constantly hear about our relationship with Krishna. This is called Sambandha Gyan, which means that we have a relationship with Krishna, and we have a very temporary relationship with the material world, which is not very savory, is it? Or is it just me feeling that way? Yeah. And so we should hear about that so we don't fall into a trance in the material world and think this is my home. It's not. So when we receive the holy name in initiation, we're following the process, Pancha Samskar, we're following the advice of the great acharyas and so forth. The holy name itself is Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuto Nitya Mukto Bhinatvam Nama Namino. The Shastra says that Krishna is like a touchstone. A touchstone means a philosopher's stone. It means there's this stone that you can touch to any metal and it'll turn it to gold. And similarly, the holy name is like that. Whomever it touches, he purifies. The name purifies, rectifies. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And the name is full of relationship, actually, because the name is Krishna. When we chant Krishna's name, we actually begin to realize and experience our relationship with Krishna, with God. Purna Shuto Nitya Mukto, it's completely perfect. Everything else in this world is frustrating. At least it is for me. Especially technology. Nothing ever works the way it says it's going to work. But the holy name always works. It's Purna Shuto Nitya Mukto. It's completely perfect. It's completely whole. It's completely pure. And Binatvan Nama Namino, this is something to meditate on very carefully. The holy name is not different from Krishna. There's no separation at all. Binatvam Nama Namino means there is no difference at all between Hare Krishna and Krishna himself. Now, the Shastra says that one who takes up this process of chanting with a vow will experience that their heart will change. In fact, it says one's heart will melt. And this we see in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the founder of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. 500 years ago, according to Shastra, Krishna himself appeared in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at a certain point of his life, he accepted initiation from a spiritual master. So when God comes to the world, he also takes initiation. Krishna did too. From? Sandipani Muni. So Lord Chaitanya accepted initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri. And he went to Gaya. And after he got his initiation, he came back a while later to his spiritual master, and he said, "What kind of mantra did you give me? Because I've gone crazy chanting it. Is this correct?" He wanted to check. He checked with his spiritual master. "You gave me a mantra, I'm chanting the mantra, but it's making me crazy. Is this correct?" And his spiritual master said, "Very good." And then he told him a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he said is the essence of the entire meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatanurago jitachuta ucha hasatyato rautiti rauti gayati unmadavan rittiti lokabhayaha. Said that when one takes a vow to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, that the name will become gradually more and more dear to that chanter. And then the heart will melt. Druta chitta, the heart actually melts. And then one will begin to develop an inner life. It means one actually has a relationship with Krishna, which is very sweet. And one no longer cares for outsiders. And the verse actually says one begins to chant, dance, and sometimes roll on the floor, even without caring for outsiders. Imagine, you work for Oracle, or for, who else, who's down here in L.A.? Apple? No, they're in Silicon Valley. Google's down here. So you go to your office, and then you start rolling on the floor. But you don't care. You no longer care for outsiders or what situation. This is a symptom of advanced love of God, the result of chanting the holy name. And throughout the Shastra, the power of the holy name, the purity of the holy name, is again and again exalted. Devahuti says, Aho bhatashwa pachato garyan, yajiva grevartite namatubhyam, te pusta paste juhuhu sasna arya, brahmanachur nama grananti yete. She says, now Devahuti is the mother of Kapiladev. Kapiladev is another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she said to her son, oh, how wonderful it is that anyone who is chanting the holy name of the Lord, even with the tip of their tongue, even if they do it a little bit, even if they just do it once, becomes qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice. Means that they've, in previous lives, already performed all the Vedic rites, already taken all kinds of ritual baths, already performed all kinds of sacrifices, already been to the holy places personified. So exalted is the utterance of Hare Krishna. Everyone please say, Hare Krishna. You're all great souls. And he also says, Yanama deha shravanadu kirtanad, yet pravanad, yet smaranad, api kuchit, shvadyo pisadya savanaya kalpate, kutakpanaste bhagavanu darshanat. Again, she says that if one is engaged in this process of chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam, then that person becomes instantly purified. That means that even their low birth, whatever low birth one may have, and of course the Shastra says in Kali Yuga everyone has a low birth because everything's topsy-turvy in this age. But even someone, in this verse he's saying, even someone who comes from a markedly low birth, like that of a dog eater, becomes qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. How? By chanting Hare Krishna. And Jiva Goswami comments, that doesn't mean that somebody accidentally ate a dog once. It just happened to be part of a Twinkie or something. I don't know if that's what they put in these things, but they might, so be careful. But they actually grew up in a family where people ate dogs. Even a person from that category who chants Hare Krishna, they become qualified to perform Vedic sacrifice. It means that they come to a purified stage in life. They're actually Brahman. They're qualified to be Brahman. So the holy name is complete in itself. One who chants the holy name becomes purified. And one who takes a vow to chant the holy Hare Krishna mantra and becomes dedicated to the lifestyle that surrounds it, that is, hearing about Krishna, hearing about our relationship with him, hearing about the perils of the material world, will quickly make advancement. And one more very important point. And that is, one can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not make advancement if one is committing aparadhas, means offenses to the holy name. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and all the acharyas say that whenever one is taking a vow of initiation, it doesn't mean just chant. We say 16 rounds, but actually this is just a token. We really mean kirtaniya sadahari, constantly chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But besides that, one must also consciously avoid offenses in chanting the holy name. There are 10 offenses in the matter of chant. Did we just sell a set of Bhagavatams? We don't have an enforcer today, unfortunately. Okay. Just so you know, if your cell phone goes off, you have to buy a set of Bhagavatams. Or you'll be privileged to buy a set of Bhagavatams. It's $220. So just check and see if you have that much. And if you do, please turn your cell phone on. One must consciously avoid the offenses to the holy name. Of the 10 offenses, there are several that are, well, first of all, just say what the 10 are. And then I'm going to point out a few. I'll augment a few. First offense is to vilify the devotees who have dedicated their lives to spreading the holy name all over the world. Second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Krishna. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master or consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures that are in pursuance of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imaginary. Sixth offense is to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name. Seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas called Karmakanda, meant for elevation in the material world. Ninth offense is to teach the glories of the holy name to people who are faithless, who don't believe in it. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding all the different instructions, causeless unwillingness. And the 11th is to, this is a bonus, to be inattentive while chanting. Does everyone have enough air? Is there enough air in here or is it getting stuffy? It's a little stuffy. Is there any way to get more air just for a little bit? This cup is empty. You also need air and water. So, of these offenses, first of all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all the offenses, the root of those is inattentive chanting. And you might notice this when you are talking to somebody and they're telling you something important or not, and you look at your watch. Have you ever done that? I'm just looking at mine. How does it make you feel? Not very good. Like, he's got to go somewhere, right? Even a second's inattention when you're talking to another human being will make them feel uncomfortable. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, be there. Be there for the holy name. Don't divert your attention to other things. It's not just rude. It's offensive. And this is the root cause of all the other offenses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Two other offenses, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in his commentary, the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that have frightening reactions. Frightening reactions. One is to vilify devotees who have dedicated their lives to chanting Hare Krishna. You cannot make advancement in devotional service if you criticize devotees. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about, I may have some envy in my heart. Very likely I do, because this is the nature of the material world. And if I begin to resent devotees on the basis of that envy of my heart, and I act on it outwardly criticizing them, this is an offense to the holy name, and it makes the holy name retreat. Not only that, there are frightening reactions, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Not that it's just the holy name will retreat, but we'll have to suffer for it. The other is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. It means I figure I'm lined up. I'm part of a religion. I'm all covered. I have my insurance policy. Therefore, I can justify sinful activity. We cannot. If I take that mentality, then it's very counterproductive, and not only that, there are frightening reactions, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these three are particularly important to keep in mind. Instead of criticizing devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said it's a very good idea to glorify them instead. Now I'll have my water. Now we have air and water. So, Today, Bhaktin Kunita, you are accepting this vow. You're taking a vow. And please be an exemplar of the Vaishnavi, of a Vaishnavi in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a follower of Srila Prabhupada, in very, very carefully avoiding criticizing devotees. And be very careful of the offense of justifying sinful activity on the strength of chanting. And always be attentive when you chant. And now, we are going to give, well, I'm going to give, Bhaktin Kunita her chanting beads and also her name. And we'd like everyone just afterwards to please shower their blessings on her from the bottom of your heart to that she may become completely successful in this life by developing a very deep relationship with Krishna through the holy name. She may become completely purified in heart with not even a pinch of material desire left, and may safely transport herself by the mercy of Krishna back home, back to Godhead, by the power of the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his last prayer of the Sharanagati, which are songs talking about the process of surrender, that the holy name has taken him personally by the hand and introduced him to Krishna in the spiritual world. It means the holy name is a person, and he's your best friend. And he will personally take you by the hand into Goloka Vrindavan as you take this process as your life and soul and dedicate your life. Hare Krishna. So, you please come up and you offer your obeisances to your spiritual master and then to Srila Prabhupada and then... I met Bhaktin Kunita here in Los Angeles over a year ago. I'm not sure what date it was. About 2 years ago?
Yeah.
We've known each other for 2 years and have had developed a relationship. And this is what is mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, a guru-disciple relationship must take time. Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the guidebook for Vaishnav behavior written by Sanatan Goswami under the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, says that a disciple should study a spiritual master for at least a year and verify for him or herself that I can surrender here, I can take the instructions here and see that that person is actually qualified as a spiritual master, according to Shastra. And the spiritual master also should examine the disciple for at least a year and see that this person is qualified as a disciple. The main qualification for this Harinam initiation is Shraddha. That one has firm faith in the chanting of the holy name. One doesn't have to be a learned scholar to take a Harinam initiation, but one should have firm faith in the holy name and steadiness. I mean, that's what actually proves your faith. that you you vote with your feet. You vote with your feet. You may say, I love Krishna, I love Krishna, and then you don't show up. So we don't believe you. But from what I've seen from studying Bhakti Gunita for these almost 2 years now, she shows up. She shows up for her chanting. She's been sending me reports steadily, a lot of reports about her chanting. And it's impressive. She's been steadily chanting and is very dedicated to her chanting of Hare Krishna. And also to serving Srila Prabhupada's movement in ISKCON, very dedicated to book distribution, to serving the deities here in various ways to help the process of deity worship. And I've observed in her a great enthusiasm for devotional service. And so we've developed this relationship over time. And not only that, I had the great fortune of performing the wedding ceremony for Govinda Datta Prabhu and Gunita, who came to our house in Burlingame, California. And we had a very lovely wedding ceremony there. And we came even closer at that time. And another very positive element, or I should say, person in her life is Govinda Datta Prabhu, who encourages Bhakti Gunita in all her devotional service. It's very helpful because sometimes people have a spouse, they say, I'm very into Krishna consciousness, but my spouse hates it. If you have a spouse that encourages you, you're very lucky, very lucky. And both of them are very lucky because they're both devotees with very deep faith in Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, the holy names. So after due consideration and coming to appreciate your quality of Shraddha, faith in the holy name, enthusiasm for service, and your desire to move forward in your spiritual life, we've come to this point. So now please tell us the vows you intend to follow.
I promise to follow four regulative principles, which are: the first one is no intoxication, the second one is no meat, no fish, no eggs, then the third one, no illicit sex, and the fourth one is no gambling, and 16 rounds at least every day chanting Hare Krishna mantra.
We can feel the skies rumbling too with that. The demigods are also. When someone makes a vow, as I said in the very beginning, it changes the world, it changes the universe. And this vow of following four regulative principles, chanting at minimum of 16 rounds today, is like a spiritual earthquake heard around the world, maybe about a 12 on the Richter scale. Because it's not easy in Kali Yuga. It's everything is contrary to that. It's a retrograde age. So this is a very big thing. And I have your chanting beads. And I have in this envelope your name. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. It is completely pure and perfect, and it is the main process for gaining light in the Kali Yuga age, for developing our relationship with Krishna. It is imperative that one hear the Srimad Bhagavatam constantly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is considered to be the topmost. And in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 31st chapter is considered to be one of the greatest jewels, of course, anywhere in literary development, but as a chapter in and of itself, it's very much cherished and relished by the Vaishnavas everywhere. And that particular chapter is called the Gopi Gita. And so you are Gopi Gita Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Gopi Gita Devi Dasi Ki. Gopi Gita Devi Dasi Ki. Gopi Gita Devi Dasi Ki. And here in this envelope is a certificate proving that you are Gopi Gita Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Now, please sit back down. And our priest tonight, I'm happy to introduce to you, is Srivas Pandit Prabhu, who is a great scholar. He is the leader of our Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav certified courses at ISV in San Jose. And he is a devotee who has dedicated his life. He and his wife have dedicated their life to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And before we start the fire, we would like the neck beads. Did we get them yet? Govinda Datta Prabhu, could you bring Gopi Gita Devi Dasi's neck beads? Oh, she got them. Okay. Good. Then we're all set. So Srivas Pandit Prabhu is going to invoke the sacred fire, and Krishna will appear in this fire to bear witness. We'll pray for his blessings, and Gopi Gita Devi Dasi will also offer oblations in the fire in the form of grains during the ceremony. So while Srivas Pandit Prabhu is starting the fire and saying some of his mantras, we're going to have a bhajan in the background. And then when he calls for us to stop, we'll responsively chant prayers before the sacred fire. So please begin. Hare Krishna. Govinda Datta Prabhu, would you lead a kirtan, please? And someone, would they move this microphone over for Srivas Pandit Prabhu so we can hear his mantras?